topic is about responding to fake people.
That was a fake start, buddy. You didn't even say who we were.
Do we know who we are?
No.
Well, that's a good question. You know, I can think of a couple of movies that bring out the, you know, the fake things. And there's one coming up here very soon. It's going to be a nice remake. Not that I'm promoting it per se, but I think there's a lot of interesting points of view within the trilogy now to be added on to that.
Yeah.
They're referring to none other than The Matrix.
Incredible movie.
Very incredible movie. Definitely, you know, parents want to pre-screen it first for taking your kids. It may not be for all audiences. But there's a lot of things within that movie that really, you know, they point out that, you know, what everybody thought was real.
It was all a lie.
It was all a lie. It wasn't real at all. I mean, you know, it's like, so, and, you know, and another interesting movie that can be the movie/book series also is Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got, you know, what's real, you know, yeah. Is it more real there than here? And then finally, let's cross from the secular world to the Christian world. Let's talk about Narnia in the Chronicles of Narnia.
That is a really good example, actually.
Yes. You know, Chronicles of Narnia is like, you know, they're all got the same similar feel that, you know, are you in the real world or is this real? You know, mm-hmm. and if you've listened or read or watched all the Chronicles of Narnia, you cannot help but go, well, which reality is more real? And not to spoil it, but by the time you get to the very last Chronicle of Narnia, that really gets exposed where, you know, Aslan actually does away with the old world and picks everybody into a new world. So, you know, what is real? You know, now let's take it to the absolute furthest. And then when we get into the scriptures is why we're bringing this up. And like you said, the topic being responding to fake people. You know, you have, here we are physically in this moment in time talking mm-hmm. to each other, you know, the people listening. And yet one day we won't be in this body. We'll be separate. We'll be with the Lord and in a whole nother place.
Right.
And, you know, if that doesn't sound crazy enough, you know, being in heaven or being with the Lord, you know, apart from this world, you know, so
a whole different realm.
Yeah. So, you know, these ideas and principles really aren't that far fetched. It's just perception. So the question is when you recognize something fake in front of you, how do you respond to it? Do you get, you know, I think the first natural reaction is humans get angry.
Yeah.
You know,
because you've been lied to.
You've been lied to. You get angry because your perception was not what you thought it was. You know, but maybe there is a better way to respond. And I think when you go through scriptures, you're going to find out how Jesus responded. He was very clear, very sharp, mm-hmm. But he didn't respond in anger. He responded with wisdom. And I think that's where us as, you know, the professed Christians need to recognize. So, yeah, let's just hop right into the scripture again. Let's start with Matthew. Back, we're going to conclude Matthew 7.
Really quickly.
Oh, go ahead.
Not to interrupt you, but can you turn your monitor on?
It's off?
Yeah, your monitor's off.
Oh, no.
I can't read the scriptures. Nice. I just realized that.
I have no idea how it turned off.
I don't either. All right.
Wow.
Now we're going to note. We're going into Matthew.
Okay, there we go. Going to Matthew now. That's one thing we're not on Dove's Edge is fake.
Yeah.
We are not worried about editing. We are not worried about editing at all.
Struggling here. We're a bunch of struggle busts trying to get.
Right? Can you see it now?
It is on. It's okay. Clear as can be now.
Awesome. Okay. So, but yeah, we're concluding Matthew 7. And so Matthew 7 verses 21 to the end, I believe it's 29.
Yes.
Yeah. It reads this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. You know, Jesus, just stopping there for a second, he did not get angry there.
No.
He just flat out said, let me tell you what's going to happen. And he just handed it over. And, I mean, in some ways he's responding to the people right in front of him.
Right.
He just called them evildoers. He just said that, you know, I'll tell you that I don't know you.
He stated truth.
Yeah. Just stated the truth. And, you know, in this world, I'm noticing more and more people do not want to hear the truth. They rather hear a lie as a truth.
It makes them feel comfortable or safe.
Yeah, and that's...
Because it destroys their reality.
Yeah, their reality.
Yeah.
You know, and anytime you get somebody to a point where they cannot accept their reality, their state of mind starts to break down.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's some kind of... term for that. I just don't know what it is.
Some kind of medical term.
But the one thing I've called over the years is plausible deniability, is where something's plausible, but you completely deny it, and because it doesn't match up with what you...
It's a safety core mechanism. Belief.
Yeah, it's almost like a net. Yeah, like a safety net. Right, yeah.
No, throw that out. Nope,
yeah, nope, can't believe that.
That's too scary. That's
too much. Yeah, that can't be true. It just can't be true because I can't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And... that's a bad place to be. It's a bad place to be. Because here's Jesus literally saying, so not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. In other words, but you're Jesus. I know you, Jesus. That's like going up to somebody on the street saying, oh, I know who you are. I saw you on such and such video, or I saw you here. Mm-hmm. But the person doesn't know you. And they're like, okay, get away from me.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Very similar. Yeah, very similar.
It really is.
So the first way Jesus responded was he just very plainly said, he said, then I would tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. He's not going to yell. I don't know you. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about the proverbial hang the phone up on you thing. So in verse 24, let's go on. So he starts to, from there he kind of brings out kind of a parable. He goes, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, keyword practice, is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Even the crowd suddenly recognized there was a very primal difference between this particular rabbi and the rest of them.
Right.
So what was going on here in the minds of the crowd? They must have felt like they were seeing double.
Reality was being
shifted. Yeah, it was being shifted. It was being punched up against.
Mm-hmm.
How can this guy teach with such authority? Where'd he come from? I mean, let's be real. I mean, I'm 40. You're 20. You're 21. You know, in the middle of that's 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's how old Jesus was. Somewhere between 30 and 33 before he died. That's how old he was. And so he was considered really young, just getting started in ministry. And yet he spoke as though he was like an 80-year-old rabbi. And they're right. Who is this dude?
That breaks the mold.
Yeah, breaks the mold, shatters reality. It just really kind of messes with. Suddenly you got a crowd that's like, you know, is this guy real or is what we've been seeing all along not real?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like a phase in and out thing.
Yeah, because all the other rabbis are like ancient. They're like, you can't learn all that young.
Right.
You can't be that wise.
I mean, this same Jesus. Right. This same Jesus was perplexing the teachers of the law back when he was 12 years old in the temple. Right. So now we over double his lifespan. You know, almost triple, not quite triple, but over double his lifespan. You know, and here he is just teaching the masses out in the open.
Right.
You know, and they're like, wait, we've been taught this for the last 2,000 years, and all of a sudden, what is this?
Too stuck in their own ways, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine a day that would come that, you know, all of a sudden, everything we thought we knew suddenly gets re-exposed the way it really is,
mm-hmm.
and we go, wait a minute, that's not how I learned that in Sunday school, but I can't argue it because it's right there in plain sight.
Right.
You know, that I think that's what, you know, people are going to find out. You know, is that like a great misconception in the Bible, since we're right here near Christmas, is the three wise men.
Yeah. I was just talking about this the other day.
Yeah.
Somebody.
There wasn't three wise men. There were three types of gifts. But the Magi might have been in the thousands. And it was 2 years after he was born that they were rolling.
Not even the right timeline.
Yeah, I mean, so it wasn't even, it's not like you think you saw in a manger scene that you have a couple of wise men there with baby Jesus that just got born. No, it had nothing like that.
Right.
You know, so Jesus is like a 2 to 2.5 years old, and they're bringing him the gifts, and those gifts is actually what enables Joseph and Mary to be able to up and uproot and move out of hometown to Egypt for a while. Because of all the firstborn being slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
So with that said, you know, that really kind of puts a biblical spin on, you know, what is real, you know. So how do you respond to fake people? First thing is just keep your cool. I mean,
right. Don't overreact.
You don't overreact. Try not to get angry, you know, and just realize your soft response is going to shatter their hard resistance.
Right.
But you got to know what you're saying, and that's what Jesus is doing. You know, that's why he amazed the crowd, because he very much knew what he was saying. So, and there's nothing wrong with, if you don't know what you're saying, don't say anything at all.
Right, just keep your mouth shut.
Just keep your mouth shut, walk away, come back to the battle another day. You know, don't feel defeated, just walk away.
Right.
You know, so, but let's kind of twist this a little bit, and let's go to Matthew 12. Where there's another scenario that's a little more confrontational happening. You know, here we have a demon possession that's getting ready to go down. And remember, the teachers of the law at this point, you know, because now we're 5 chapters later.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got the teachers have already heard the sayings. Oh, yeah, this Jesus guy, you know, he's
word on the street.
Yeah. More than you are. And, you know, just he's kind of outshining you a little bit. So, you know, there's definitely going to be some jealousy there. You know, that is another way to recognize fake people, is if there's a lot of jealousy over.
Or hatred.
That's
pretty blunt. I mean,
yeah. And anything that is contrary to the fruits of the spirit, you can just about near guarantee that person is playing a part, and they're not actually.
Not genuine.
Yeah, there's a difference
between the condition of their heart and their intentions are very different than what they're showing.
Yeah, there's a difference between following Jesus, or in other words, practicing what you know, versus just having head knowledge.
Right.
And the head knowledge is where the Sadducees and Pharisees were all the time. You know, and let's read this. So Matthew 12, starting verse 22, then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him, so that they could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, could this be the son of David? I'm going to stop there. So what's happening right now is they witnessed a miracle, and they're trying to rationalize what they just saw.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to decipher, wait a minute, this guy has been mute and blind for who knows how long, and this guy comes along, meaning Jesus comes along and heals him. Who is this person? So they're trying to rationalize. They're trying to compare something with what they already know,
because they've never seen this.
Never seen it. And here's the thing. You can't. And the reason why you can't is because if something is outside of what you know is reality, you can't compare it on a baseline of something you already know.
Right.
It won't work, because you would have already seen it somewhere at that point.
Right.
This was new to them. So they're like, just to keep their mind straight, they're like, is this the son of David? You know, in other words, questioning, is this the Messiah?
The only thing they could possibly compare it to, because it's the only thing they could think of to compare it to.
Right. So they're starting to question
what they've heard.
They're starting to question their reality. They're starting to question,
right,
is this real? And so, well, as soon as they, the reason why it says in verse 24, but when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it is only by Beelzebul, that the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons.
So they automatically assume his authority is demonic.
Yeah, God, no, Jesus, no. Jesus is not the Messiah. And this is the son of David meant. Jesus is not the Messiah. You know,
because
heresy.
He didn't come the way that you thought he would.
Right.
All, you know, in a sense, guns a-blazing. Here I am. This is who I am.
Yeah.
I'm the Messiah.
Yeah, I'm the Messiah. I'm here to take care of all the governments. That's not
basically, what Jesus, yeah, yeah, no, no.
Jesus did not come under that intent.
Mm-mm.
No worries, he will eventually, but not that time.
Yeah,
not the first time around.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah. So they immediately contorted the truth by comparing him. Here we go, comparing him to something they knew,
which was demonic
power. Demonic Beelzebub. Yeah, Beelzebub. Jesus knew their thoughts and said this to them: every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. Every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God comes, and then the kingdom of God has come upon you. So Jesus actually recognized that the Spirit of God was within him right there.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say he was casting demons out under just his authority, but by God's authority, right, of the Spirit. So you have a three-part thing happening here, but he recognized the Spirit of God being the executioner of the will of God. And, you know, that's really important. But he also responded. I want to note that when Jesus responded to this stuff like this, the first thing he said was he knew their thoughts. And that is a major, massive missing element in today's followers of Christ. They don't take the time to ask God, like, Lord, when people are talking to me, help me understand what they're thinking before I respond.
Right.
You know, that's wisdom. That's the Spirit of God talking to you. That's the Spirit teaching you. That's the Spirit saying, hey, this is what they're really doing. They have evil intentions.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
How are they processing this?
Like, right.
You know, trying to understand their point of view, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, but Jesus, first thing he said was every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. It can't stand.
Yeah.
I mean, he just called out a basic truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep in mind, back in Matthew 7, he's saying that, you know, if you build a house on sand, it's not going to stand.
Right.
Not the principles haven't changed from Matthew 7 to Matthew 12.
No.
So here you have that. And, you know, he asks the question, how then can his kingdom stand if Satan drives out Satan? It's not going to. So, and why would Jesus be going around healing people in the name of Satan?
Why would Satan want to heal anybody?
Right. I mean,
even if it is a confused mass.
You know, and that's the other thing. You know, when people are fake, the first thing to do is not brush what they're doing under the rug. First thing to do is call them out directly on what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Jesus did. He called them out directly. Look, you're trying to divide a kingdom.
Right. You're straightforward to the point.
I mean, you know, if church people... and when I say church people, I mean pastors, and I mean people, you know, clergy members, etc. If they would address issues by simply saying, so-and-so, you did this.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, well, we're going to give them grace and just let them figure, maybe.
We'll see how it plays out.
We're going to see how we're going to pray that the Spirit of God convicts their heart.
That's just avoiding.
That's not what Jesus and did.
Making the issue worse.
Exactly. Jesus was known for calling things out as they were on the spot.
Because then at that point, it gets pinned on you just as much as it does them.
Yeah.
Because you didn't do anything about it.
Right. You pretended. So yep. who's being fake here? I mean, so, you know, if we're really true followers of Christ, then we're going to respond in gentleness and in love and in kindness.
Right.
But we're not going to be afraid
to say what we got to say. That we got to call out what's there.
Right.
Not be like, oh, I don't want to have to point that out.
And that is the actual definition of being meek, by the way. When Jesus says a meek will inherit the earth, the reason why is because meek people aren't weak people. Meek people are very strong people,
mm-hmm.
but they know how to use wisdom with love to bring correction to things.
Right.
That's why the meek will inherit the earth. So makes sense. Jesus was a meek person. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and again, I just can't stress, call things out. When you're dealing with a problem with your kid, you know, for a child, for example, they did something bad. One of the best things to do is ask them a question. So what did you just do right there? And they're going to lie to you. They're going to lie.
Which is ironically exactly what, you know, God did walking through the Garden of Eden. He's like, where are you? Why are you hiding? Like he didn't know where they were.
Right. Like he didn't know.
Like, created the universe. He's like, hey, where are you?
Yeah, you're hiding from me. I can't see you.
Give him a chance.
No. Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect example. I just, you know, but it's going to call things out.
Mm-hmm.
And if he did in the very beginning, he's doing it now. He's going to do it in the end.
Right.
I mean, the very end of time, everything's being called out, the Great White Throne Judgment. So, I mean, nothing's
changing. It's all going to come to a close.
Yeah, I mean, nothing changed. The pattern doesn't change.
No.
So, if God is setting this pattern before us, then we should follow it.
Yeah.
Again, the primal difference is do it in love. You know, everything has to fall back to love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do it with kindness and do it with wisdom. And you're not doing it for selfish gain. Jesus never said anything in these scriptures that was for his own selfish gain.
Right.
He said nothing. All he did was said, a kingdom can't be divided against itself. It'll fall.
Straight facts.
Just facts. Yeah.
Makes no sense.
He wasn't defending himself.
No.
He could have said, what do you mean you call me Beelzebul? You know, again, the anger response.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the defensive response. That's another way.
Letting your emotions control you.
Yeah. That's another primal way to know when someone's kind of, just not quite telling the truth, is when they get extremely defensive really fast.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to prevent a truth from coming forward by deterring you with another.
Right.
Even if they give you another truth, they're trying to deter you with it.
Correct.
So, you know, the best thing to do is respond directly with a fact. That's how some of these people that are really good with debating do really well in debating, because they won't get angry. They'll say, okay, well, you say that, but this,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
it stumps them
because,
you know, they expected to respond.
They expected an emotional response, a defensive response, so they can fuel it back and forth.
Exactly.
But when you cut the fuel source off, it's not going to burn.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a good example.
Yeah.
It's a great example.
So, and of course, then it's, you know, and then, you know, but if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. He basically just said, well, you decide.
Yeah.
He put it right back in the court. You decide. Nobody that's fake wants things to be put back onto them ever. So you've got to respond with them in kind, with wisdom and love, with fact, and then put the ball right back in their court. Make them say whatever they need to say. Most times you find out they're going to just walk away. They can't handle it. So responding to fake people, there is a very set thing to do. It's very simple. It's not complicated. You don't have to be a scholar to do it. It's just knowing to respond with meekness.
Right.
You know, so, and I think if you really pull the veil back and you look at things in life that, you know, especially the biggest, easiest one to talk about is if you've been lied to. You've been lied to. Yeah, it's easy to get angry. It's like natural.
Right, it's natural human instinct.
But what would happen if you didn't get angry? You know, or you controlled your anger. Because anger, being angry is not a sin. It's the lack of self-control that's a sin.
Mm-hmm.
That leads to other things, like malice. So, you know, being angry is not the issue, but it's what are you going to do with the response? Can you remanage it? And that's really, I think, something we take from all this. So responding to fake people, you know, is very key to a Christian's walk. It's just key. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to finish it up there. There's not much more to say. I think really just getting it out, how to respond to fake people is just a everyday thing that we really need to learn to put to practice.
Right.
You know, and it's a practice. It's
your many different scenarios.
Yeah. You're never going to perfect it,
No.
but you can certainly learn how to use it,
mm-hmm.
you know, so.
And recognize it. Yep.
And it's definitely needs to be seen because, you know, there's false prophets in this world. There's false teachers. You know, mm-hmm. you really need to be on guard to that. There's a lot of teachings out there that are really leading people the wrong direction. You know, you've got to be on guard with that. And the only way to do that is you have to learn to call things out directly. I can personally honestly say that I've had conversations with other Christians, pastors, teachers. You know, when I call things out, the immediate response was they just got very angry because, wait a minute, this wasn't supposed to be seen. I had this hidden. And it got exposed, and they didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't call it out to bring them down. I called it out to allow for grace, for forgiveness.
Right.
You know.
For healing to take place.
Believe me, and I say this publicly, there has been many things I've seen over the years that could bring people in position out of power to their knees.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not my place to do that. We're not judges.
Right.
You know, but it is up to us to call the facts out, to show people, look, this isn't lining up with the Bible.
That's just doing our part.
Just doing our part.
Called right? to do.
Yeah, we're not the judge.
No.
But we are allowed to show things what they are, call the facts out. That's what Jesus did. Jesus himself also said that he didn't come to condemn the world, but to save it.
Correct.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And even in the end, he's not the one condemning the world.
Nope.
The one who condemns and who's going to be judging the world is God himself.
Yep.
So Jesus even fell into those same parameters.
That holds true the whole way through.
Jesus was in the same parameters and the same rules. So we really need to learn to follow after exactly as he put it, not what we think it is.
Which I think the last scripture was Romans 8:16.
Oh yeah, good point. Yeah. I almost forgot about that one. Go ahead and pull that up. I'll read off screen. It's very simple. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. What does that mean? It's very simple. Being that the Spirit of God's in us, you're going to know when things aren't right. When something's wrong with the picture. And that's what happened with Jesus.
Inner alarm.
Yeah, when Jesus said, Jesus knew their thoughts. How do you know his thoughts? Because the spirit within him was not resonating with their spirit.
Right.
So there is a supernatural connection there. That's about the best way as I can put it. That it's if true. You have the Spirit of God in you, you're going to know when something's wrong with the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you can't see what it is. You
can't figure it out. You'll be like, yeah, there's something not right about this.
Yeah, you ever seen those illusions? Like illusion where there's one that shows like, is the steps going up or are they going down?
Yeah.
And you just stare at it and you're like, you can never come to an answer because it's, it just breaks your mind. Well, but there's something wrong with the picture. You know.
Right, you know there's something wrong.
Or the elephant. Did it have, the one picture of the elephant, did it have three legs or four legs? You know, you stare at it and you're like, because it's an illusion, the way it's drawn.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in reality, there are times where we're going to see something and go, huh. I mean, there are certain symbols in this world that I walk around and I see them in public and I go, look at that right there in plain sight. There's a big old pentagram on the wall.
Right.
You know.
Or even if it's hidden within a symbol.
Yeah. You know.
You can just tell.
Yeah. You know, or look at that. Look at that symbol right there. Doesn't that really represent something else? I was like,
yeah,
you know, so on.
The list could go on with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You just know, like there's something within you.
Yeah. And there's been cities I've actually traveled through and go, man, there's something about this city that just really bothers me.
Oh, I've been to countless places.
Yeah. And there's plenty of them nearby us. It's like that.
Yeah.
Where, you know, and what that is your spirit. In other words, the Holy Ghost that's within you is not welcomed in that area.
Yeah.
And they're like, what are you doing here?
Exactly.
You know, the demons are just screaming at you basically. And that's happened throughout the Bible. You know, mm-hmm. the demoniac that was over the sea. And he goes, what are you doing here, Jesus? You come to judge us now?
It's
like, no, he's like, no. And the demons pretty much prayed to Christ right there saying, well, can you throw us into the, into the swine?
Yeah.
You know, and of course Jesus wasn't welcome there at that point. You know, he was asked to leave by the entire town.
And he did.
So, you know, that stuff happens. But I'm going to end there. Thanks for reminding me of that scripture. I would have forgotten about it actually because it's a lot of cover in a short amount of time.
That's why I keep track of all that.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. So, all right. Do you have anything else you want to add?
I think we're good.
Yeah.
We're
good.
All right.
Yep. Just don't forget to like, share, and spread the word.
Yep. Very important for this podcast. Yep.
Something new that finally we do have stuff up on Spotify,
yes,
Google,
yeah,
a few others. We'll eventually, once again,